from Connect FM. This is Under Review, your weekly deep dive into the world of sports with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing.
I'm back, but are the Steelers. We'll break down their win over the Bengals Sunday and look ahead to this week's matchup against the Bears. And is there a new leader in the Pick'em Contest clubhouse? Stay tuned.
The Penguins took 3 out of 4 points in Sweden. What was it like to be there, and is the team trending in the right direction? Josh Getzoff, the voice of the Penguins, will join us for a conversation at 6:15.
What do Gavin McKenna, James Franklin, Kyle Schwarber, Mitch Keller, LeBron James, and George Pickens have in common? Not a whole lot, but they'll be part of our quick hitters at the end of the show. I'm Bob Anderson.
I'm Dave Glass.
And I'm Dave Herzing. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go Under Review.
Sponsored by Fatula Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio. Welcome back to, sorry about the fade out there. I didn't mean to do that, but welcome back to Under Review for Wednesday, November 19th. What's going on, guys?
Oh, now we're past everything, the election and other stuff and work. Now I'm starting to look forward to Thanksgiving.
Yes, that's sir.
I don't like Thanksgiving food, as we know, but I love the family aspect. There's going to be 3 games. At least 2 of them look like they're going to be good.
Yeah.
So I know that's still a week away, but I'm really starting to look forward to that.
I'm really excited. My sister is actually on her way up from Arkansas right now with my brother-in-law and my 3 awesome nephews, Jackson, Camden, and Liam. The Webs, when you're in the car listening to this, hello, safe travels. I'm looking forward to spending time with my family and eating lots of good food.
Oh, yeah. We still have some time for that, but I wanted to see if you guys saw the big news from Pittsburgh this week. The new terminal opened.
You know, I did. I watched the stuff about it closing. I actually talked to somebody today who was a traveler this morning, and she told me that it's beautiful, it's unbelievable, it's really great, and I'm looking for, in January, I'll be going there. You're probably going to be on it before me,
but
you travel all the time.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
But I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you know, I am going to miss the clickety-clack, I'm going to miss the T-Rex, I'm going to miss the train.
I am not going to miss that stupid train at all.
I loved it. It reminds me of traveling with my kids. My kids absolutely loved it, and they loved looking at that red circle on the train. But I will tell you, though, what I am looking forward to most is the new baggage claim. Because baggage claim before was all dingy and it took forever
because it was so many miles of...
Yeah, it took, yeah. For goodness sake, it would really slow your trip down. The parking situation now is all cleared up. So yeah, and it does, it looks absolutely gorgeous. They had some $1.6 billion design firm. Like, I'm thrilled to be...
When did this become an advertisement for Greater Pittsburgh travel?
Well, at Dubois Airport, I fly Southern, so, you know, whatever. The Dubois Airport's fantastic. I fly Southern.
I got to say, the worst airport I've ever been to is probably Philadelphia. The best is maybe Charlotte.
That's a nice airport. The Phoenix Airport's really nice. Minneapolis is nice.
Phoenix is nice.
And the worst airport, Philadelphia is a terrible airport. I mean, it's awful. I don't know if you've ever flown out of Newark.
Newark's worse. Newark's so bad I won't go there. Yeah. If you're passing through, JFK isn't bad, but the traffic to get to JFK, and I've done this. I did this 3 years
ago.
It is awful. Yeah.
That's why you got to fly Southern and got to Dubois.
I'll tell you who was awful was the Bengals on Sunday. The Steelers are 34-12 victors, and we thought the implosion might be coming. Maybe it's just delayed. What were your biggest takeaways from the game, guys?
Well, my biggest takeaways are Pittsburgh defense made the adjustments. I mean, credit to them. They got steamrolled the last time they played this team. And I do think the weather played a role, and I think Flacco's sore arm played a role. But I don't want to take anything away from the fact that those receivers ran over Pittsburgh the first time, and we completely, after the first drive, held them in check.
Yeah.
So credit to them. I still don't think this offense is any good. I mean, 34 points is nice, but 20 of them were the offense. 14 were defense. So, you know, and it looks like it might be Rudolph time. So we'll talk more about that later. But look, it would have been bad to lose the game, obviously, but I'm not impressed yet.
Well, what really worries me is Baltimore's in the rearview mirror and they're coming. Their schedule's a lot more favorable than Stairways. Pittsburgh, they have some really tough games coming up. I really wish the Browns would have done their job.
We'll talk more about that later.
I mean, that would have been huge for Stairway. But that said, my takeaway is it's fun watching Mason Rudolph because I like to root for him.
You've always been a big Mason Rudolph fan.
I like Mason Rudolph. I don't think he's better than Rodgers. I don't think he's the answer. I think if you put Rodgers in a hard cast, I think he should play. I think he's a better option than Rudolph. It's not like the offense is like humming along. Put it this way. If they have a final drive to get into the playoffs, if they got to score a touchdown, who you want, Rodgers or Rudolph in there?
I don't think a game off's going to hurt Rodgers too much, honestly. But here's my big takeaway. Take a listen to this.
Jones the block at the left tackle. The muscular tight end Washington running roughshod, bulldozing, plowing. Wow!
And that was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
I love that run, and I love that call too by Kevin Harlan. That was a great call.
He's fantastic.
Kevin Harlan's a very underrated announcer.
Yeah, that was fantastic. But Darnell Washington has turned out to be their best tight end.
Well, I think Rodgers has finally unlocked that. Look, you guys know what I think about Aaron Rodgers, but he able to right away. He saw this guy. There's potential here. Look, this guy's huge. You know, it's like posting up in the paint. You can't really stop him. Once he gets you saw in that clip. Once he gets his speed up, does any defensive back want a piece of that? I think not.
Imagine trying to tackle that.
That was super impressive. I mean, that right there though is the type of football that Steelers fans want to see. They like that physicality. They want that blue collar type of mentality, and he exhibits that in spades.
How many jerseys do you think were sold for Washington within 48 hours? Wow. I bet it spiked like crazy because you hit it so right, D. That is Steelers football right there. People love that.
Absolutely. I'm going to give you an early get lost tonight, guys. Get lost to the people who put the R in Washington. Washington? Where did that come from? I don't know.
It's a Southwest PA thing. You know, it's like Yins and Nebby and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I just don't see an R in there. But nonetheless, we got to make our prediction here. We got the Steelers 6-4 at the Bears 7-3 this week. Bears are favored by 3.5. D, we're going to let you kick it off this week. I wonder who he's going
to
pick.
Well, you know I'm going to pick Stairway. I'll tell you what, you hate to say it. This isn't a must win, but it's they need to win this game.
Yeah, they got the Bills next week.
The Bears, I think their record is like they're a phony version of what Kansas City was doing last year, right? They're winning all these close games. I don't think they're as good as advertised. The Bears, I saw it the other day. The winning percentage of the Bears wins was like 289 or something like that.
I got it written down. They beat seven teams with a combined record of 19-50-1.
Yeah.
They've only beat one team over 500 all season.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think this will be a test for the Bears. I'm picking Stairway. I don't pick them to cover. I don't pick the Bears to cover the spread. But, I'll pick Stairway, though.
All right. Think of your score. I'm going to take Pittsburgh as well.
What is it, 3.5?
3.5.
I'm going to say 21-20. I mean, it's gonna be close.
So you're taking the Bears to win it?
No, I'm going to take Stairway to win it. But okay. Yeah.
Well, I got the Steelers 23-20. I think they muddy this one up.
I think
they make life a little hard here for Caleb Williams. I'm just not a believer yet in the Bears either.
Well, the whole thing with Rodgers, all the talking heads are talking about Rodgers owning the Bears. That's when he played for the Packers. This is a whole different thing. You know,
he is 26-5 against the Bears.
Yeah, but that's years and years ago. I don't think that's going to have anything to do with it, but he does know how to win in Chicago. So If he plays.
What do you got, Dave?
The only reason I'm going to take Pittsburgh here is for the same basic reason. I don't really trust Williams. I think he's going to – Pittsburgh, in my opinion, over the years, teams that see Pittsburgh a lot get a better handle on their defense. Teams and quarterbacks that haven't seen them struggle a little bit more. This is going to be a new experience for him. I think it's going to be really close, and a really close game favors the underdog. And we took way too many road teams, but here we are starting off again, and I think we're all going to take the Steelers. I'm kind of right where you guys are. I'm going to go 20-17.
Yeah, okay. I don't think this is going to be an exciting game. I really, and all that magic that Caleb Williams has, getting out of the pocket and everything, I don't know if he's going to be able to do that against this defense. They've been playing a lot better. They really have.
They have. They've definitely looked a lot better.
Well, they're in first place in that. That is the toughest division in football, guys. I mean, look at that division. Toughest division in football. Right at this moment, they're leading. And I know you talk about smoke and mirrors. It doesn't matter. They're leading.
Well, let's see where they're at in a month, because they play the Eagles, the Packers twice, the Lions, and the 49ers yet.
Baby. All right.
Well, so they're really in.
That's a gauntlet.
I'll bet they split with Green Bay. Green Bay, there's something weird going on there. Green Bay's struggling.
At the start of the season, I thought Green Bay was going to be like...
Their offense has just kind of hit the skids.
They're not what I thought they were, for sure.
And I have to say, if you look ahead, the Ravens have the Jets and the Bengals, and the Steelers have Chicago and Buffalo. I think there's a good chance that both teams are tied going into that game.
I couldn't agree with that.
Those two head-to-heads are going to decide it.
Yeah. This is for you, Dave. I know you're a big Abba fan.
I
love Abba. Yeah. I absolutely love Abba.
And of course, the Penguins.
When we come back, I'll tell you the story behind
it. Take a Chance on Me is a fantastic song.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's a great song. Well, it's time to get to a break. When we return, we'll talk to Josh Getzoff of the Pittsburgh Penguins. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by Petula Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles on Connect FM.
Let's get back to the action. You're listening to Under Review with Bob Anderson, Dave Glass, and Dave Herzing on Connect FM.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is brought to you by Fetula Eye Care. From eye exams to contacts and more, Dr. Dan has you covered. The Penguins spent the week in Sweden. Here to talk about that and more is the play-by-play voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Josh Getzoff. Josh, before we get into the Penguins, tell us about Sweden.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. It was awesome. I had never been. I don't know exactly when or how I would ever go back, but I would if I could, because it was an incredible country, incredible city, Stockholm, getting to really explore it and spend a few days around the games themselves. The food was kind of funky, but really good. Just enjoyed the entire trip and really thankful for the opportunity to get out there and represent Sportsnet Pittsburgh and the Penguins. And it was fun. We had a great time.
Well, I don't know if you got to spend much time with Erik Karlsson, but I'm guessing it had to be pretty special for him to play in his home country. And he looked pretty good doing it, Josh.
He did, and he's looked good this entire year, guys. He's been the Erik Karlsson I think the Penguins hoped they traded for when they got him from San Jose a few summers back. But he was a popular man over the course of the last week. So was Philip Forsberg for the Nashville Predators for the same exact reasons. But those two guys were in high demand, and to his credit, I felt like Erik Karlsson really embraced that aspect of it. Some guys, it can be exhausting when you're adapting to the time change, you're traveling. Yeah, they're used to it with going back home to Sweden, but this is mid-season we're talking about here. So it was a busy, situation as far as the requests that were asked of them and the amount of times they were available for the media, but I thought they both handled it really well. And, Forsberg obviously was the star on Friday night, getting the game-tying goal and his team winning in overtime, and then Erik Karlsson and the Penguins, really put their foot down, I think, and prevailed there in that game Sunday with him picking up a point. So, we were joking about it on the air, but it's true that if the league really wanted to script it out the way they had hoped, you got Stamkos scoring, Forsberg scoring, Malkin scoring, Crosby scoring, Karlsson and Forsberg gets points, and they both win a game, the Predators and the Penguins. So probably worked out perfectly from the league perspective.
Well, before we kind of move on to the macro view, I have to ask you a question about Karlsson. There was a thing on social media that when the players were coming on the ice, they were being asked about his pregame meal, and the responses I thought were pretty entertaining. So did you actually see this pregame meal they were talking about, and was it as disgusting as everybody was saying?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it plenty of times. It's actually more disgusting than they were saying. It's spaghetti. I'm trying to think of what else he puts on it. It's spaghetti with like fettuccine. Not fettuccine. It's spaghetti with Alfredo sauce with ketchup, and then like a bunch of other things that he throws in there. And like I know a bunch of people thought, oh, this has got to be a Swedish thing. And trust me, after eating over there, this is not a Swedish thing. This is just a weird Erik Karlsson thing.
Well,
but he's been doing it his whole career, and he's going to the Hall of Fame, so it's definitely worked.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it works for him. I was kind of wondering if it was a Swedish thing, but apparently it's just a Karlsson thing. So thank you for clearing that up. But kind of getting back to the serious questions, you know, we kind of saw the best and the worst of the Penguins on that trip. The first game, I think you would agree that they didn't look themselves. They didn't have their legs. They were actually probably lucky to get that point. Then they come back 2 days later and really, really looked strong overall, not, you know, very deserving of that win. And I think over the last 2 or 3 weeks prior to the trip, you could say the same thing. There have been games where they looked like just a little bit off, and then other games where they would dominate the territory quite extensively. So what do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good representation of where the season's at right now. You know, the team, unlike in previous years, guys, they started really well, and they obviously weren't expected to start well or have any wellness to their season this year at all based on all the preseason prognostications. But they have obviously exceeded expectations through the first 19, now 20 games on Friday night when they host Minnesota. So you're pretty much at a quarter of a season. You know, you go through stretches like this. They're not going to have your top flight game every single night. I think the injuries have truly caught up with them. I know Kyle Dubas, I talked to him for a while yesterday, and he doesn't want that to be an excuse. And I'm not saying it's an excuse. I'm just saying it's a reality. I mean, you take away a top-line winger in Rickard Rakell. You take away Justin Brazeau and how much he meant to them in the start with Evgeny Malkin and Anthony Mantha. You take away Noel Achari and Connor Dewar and Blake Lizotte really formed an identity and energy line for them that was huge in their early season success. You know, these guys all matter to the grand scheme of the Penguins. And Tristan Jarry out as well. I mean, you go down the list. Philip Hollander carved himself out a nice spot. He's out probably past the new year now with that blood clot. And so it's just kind of compounded, I think, to you're moving guys up in the lineup. Yes, you're having your moments, but every once in a while, guys, you know, who are probably better equipped to be playing 10 to 12 minutes a night are now playing 14 to 16 minutes a night. And that'll work for a stretch of games, but there's a certain point where it's going to hit a wall. And I think that's happened a couple times here in recent games. But, you know, to their credit, the one thing you can't discount this team for this year, especially this year, in my opinion, is their effort. They're easy to cheer for. They work their butts off every single night. And the one game that was probably an exception in my mind was Friday in Sweden. And that was probably one of the worst games they played this year. I don't think that's speaking out of line. Anybody who watched that game would agree, as I know you guys just alluded to. They were lucky, I agree with you, to get a point in that game. Artur Shelov continues to be really, really strong for this team, and he was really, really good again on Friday night, and really the only reason they were able to get a point against Nashville. And it was kind of funny that they were winning 1-0 so late. I mean, you're kind of thinking like, man, they're going to put the ski mask on and walk out of here with 2 points. And they got what they deserved. Like, they didn't deserve to win that game. But to their credit, and more importantly, guys, to Dan Muse's credit, and I'm sure you have a question about him or are curious about him, but one thing that I would say about him is he has an incredible pulse early on what can work and what can't work. And I think it's even more impressive that he has this pulse with those guys that I mentioned not available to him in the lineup. You know, what I mean by that is he goes Friday night, he sees all the misdoings within the Penguins lineup, comes back on Sunday. The only thing that I don't think anyone would have faulted him for changing, or for not changing, I should say, was the goaltender. Because like I said, Shelov was great on Friday, but he goes to Sergei Mirishkov, the rookie, on Sunday, continues his rotation with these goalies like he has all year. He and everyone else, I think, has seen that Ben Kindle has hit a little bit of a wall the last couple of games. So maybe move him back to where he was the best version of himself as an NHLer in his young career, and that was centering the third line. He did that on Sunday, and I thought Kindle had a great game in response. The Malkin-Mantha combination was best complemented by a big winger. So the Tommy Novak experiment ended up there on Sunday, and Kevin Hayes went up. And what happened? All three of those guys were on the score sheet. I think Connor Dewar kind of brings a little bit more of a, I don't want to say Chris Kunitz-like, but that's who he reminds me of in the sense of how he plays. Kunitz obviously was way more skilled and had a much longer career, but Dewar does bring that aspect to game. So I think the thought is put him up there with Sidney Crosby and Brian Rust and see what he can do. And I thought he was solid in that game as well. You know, defensively, they made a couple of adjustments also. So I felt like everything he did was done to produce more offense, but also to give this team better balance and a bounce-back ability. And did they ever, with three goals in the first half of the first on Sunday en route to that win.
Well, it's funny. I'll tell you, you can tell you talk about the Pens and you're their play-by-play announcer because I literally was just going to ask you what your thoughts were on Coach Muse. I wanted to shift gears. You'd said they're fun to root for. I've been to a couple games. All of us are big fans. We go to the games and stuff and we hear you on television. I've listened to a lot of the post-game interviews and listened to the fan and things like that in and around Pittsburgh. Describe the feeling in the building now because I know as a fan – you know, I've been there through really lean years. I've been through the cup years. This is a really fun group to root for. I mean, what are your thoughts on it so far? I mean, again, we're far enough along into the season. I really think this team is for real. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, well, my first thought, I'll start with what you just finished with. Are they for real? Like that's the biggest question I get asked is this sustainable? Can they keep this up? And the reason that I think they can is because I don't think the game that they're playing is too demanding of a game to play for an 82-game season. I'm not saying they're not trying. I'm saying they're playing within themselves and they're utilized in a proper way by Dan Muse. I mean, there's been one game this year, guys, one out of the 19, where a forward skated under 10 minutes in the game. And it was two guys in that game, and it was the Washington game, and it was Ville Koivunen and Phil Tomasino, who played 9 minutes and 49 seconds. So just barely under 10 minutes in that game. What I mean by that is everyone's getting a somewhat regular shift. Everyone's feeling the flow of the game. No one's sitting on the bench for too long. No one's, you know, overthinking their previous shift. They're getting an opportunity to go out pretty soon thereafter they just got off the ice and rectify anything they felt like they didn't do right on the last shift. And that's had a trickle-down effect because I think guys believe that, you know, one bad shift is not going to make or break a game. They don't let things snowball like they have in the past. And I really do think there's something to be said for the youthful energy. It has to be the right kind of youthful energy because we've had guys called up in the past few years that people have been excited about, but they just have been there. They've just been a guy. They haven't necessarily been a player on this team. And, you know, to the credit of Ben Kindle, who has wowed every single person he's met, and seriously, like 18 years old, you would not know. For as much as I've been around this kid for the last month and a half, I'm extremely impressed with him and to see where he's going to go in his career. But those kind of players, when they come in, they just bring a different kind of feeling to the room, and it's not as stale. It's not as, you know, by the book, because there's people that quite honestly just don't know the book that are now kind of in that NHL setting. So they brought in a few new faces from different teams also that I think add to the personality aspect. And, you know, they have the youth. They have a new coaching staff with some great personalities on it. That have really, you know, gotten through to this team. Like Mike Stuthers, the unbelievable guy, assistant coach. Todd Nelson comes in with a, you know, wealth of experience and a ton of success in Hershey, winning back-to-back Calder Cups with the Bears, the Capitals affiliate a couple years back. And then, you know, you have Nick Bonino, who needs no introduction, and Rich Kloon, who I've gotten to know pretty well and very impressed with him too. So the staff has been a breath, I don't want to say a fresh air, but they've given a fresh perspective to what has been, you know, this situation here for the last decade. So it's been fun. I mean, it's been great to be a part of. It's always easier when you're winning. Obviously, things seem to go easier. Stuff that we're talking about right now with, you know, ice time being distributed, that's easy to brush off your shoulders if you're one of the top guys not getting quite as many minutes because you're winning. If you're not winning and that's happening, maybe there are some more issues. So to their credit, they've found consistency in the way they've played. It's been fun to watch, really fun to call. You know, I do believe, I agree with you. I think, you know, as they get a little healthier here in the coming weeks, we'll see how much they can continue it.
Josh, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for taking the time.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Under Review is sponsored by Fatula Eye Care. When we return, we'll make our Week 12 NFL predictions. Stay with us.
You're listening to Under Review Sports Talk. More takes, more talk, more sports. Let's go back to the guys.
Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles, home of the best fish fry around. Swing by from 4 to 7 p.m. every Friday and enjoy a great meal and great company. Week 11 offered up some really close games against the spread. I think you figured five games, Dave, were decided by a half a point. What's the latest?
Yeah, that's right. And let me bring up the standings. There was a shakeup. I'm still leading, but it's close now.
Ooh, I thought we might have had a change there.
Well, I'm only now up by a game on D / Len. Lenny has saved your bacon,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, he has, buddy. Thanks, Lonnie. Thanks, Lonnie.
I might have to cheat off him.
I'm telling you, he was white hot this week.
Yes, he
was. Yeah, he went 10-5, and Bob and I both went 6-9. And, you know, it was a home team week. I mean, if you look at it, if we'd have picked all the home teams, we'd have done very well.
You say that out loud. 10-5 or even 9. Dude, experts, that's what they get. That's pretty great.
10-5 is really good.
Don't doubt me. Don't doubt me.
He would have, if the Vegas would have covered, you'd have been leading. And now you're in second place, a game behind me. And Bob, you're still, I think, three back.
So I'm way back.
You're not way back. I mean,
I feel like it.
Look how much you can change in one week.
That's true.
So,
it definitely can.
And this week I used AI to pick because all the talk of AI.
All right.
I used AI.
That's cheating.
Pick. No, it's not cheating.
Oh,
believe
goodness.
Me.
Well, I want to see what AI says.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, the AI. If I can find my note on my phone.
Maybe.
Well, while you're
AI
looking for that, real
AI.
Quick, we got to explain. And it was two segments ago. Bob rattled me when he did that, but. Bob's wife does a spin class, and she did an all ABBA thing Monday. And I said that my favorite ABBA song was Dancing Queen, and so Bob decided to troll me with that.
Yep. And
thank you very much for that.
If you get out to Monday nights at the YMCA, you can join Summer at the spin class.
It's a great class, and that's why I do it. I mean, it's fantastic, and everything about the Y is wonderful.
Well, we have the Broncos, Dolphins, Chargers, and Commanders on bye. Thursday night, Buffalo 7-3 travels to Houston 5-5. Bills favored by 3.5. What do you got, Dave?
Well, you know, we've had lines that were way too big on Thursdays, and we've talked about that. And this one, I'm almost like it's a strange line. You know, Buffalo's coming off a big win. Big, yeah. Big win. And and by the way, give Josh Allen the MVP now. I mean, he's
without him, they're nowhere.
Yeah, there's
that
nothing around
not
him. He was missing his second and third best receivers. He was playing one of the best teams, and he just kept answering. Every time Tampa would score, he would answer, and he just took that whole team on his back. That was an MVP performance. Now, short week, I know weird things happen, but you can't tell me that they're only 3.5 points better than this Houston team. This Houston team's not very good, so I'm going with Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo as well. I mean, Davis Mills starting again.
Is he? I thought C.J. Stroud was coming back this week.
I think it's iffy.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think Allen's just too much. That is I think the line moved, though.
We're going at 3.5.
Yeah, I think the line now is 5.5.
Well, that would make a lot more sense to me. Yep. That would make me give me pause. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yep, I'm going with Buffalo, too. I mean, the Texans needed a field goal at the gun to beat the lowly Titans, so I'll take Buffalo. We got the Patriots 9-2 at the Bengals 3-7. Patriots favored by 7.5, D.
I'm going to take the Patriots all day in this. I don't think they're going to have any answers. 7.5, I'd take them if they were 10.5. So, yeah, I'll take the Patriots in this one.
I know. I took too many road teams last week, but I can't take the Bengals here, not without Jamar Chase. So, and the defense is giving up 33 points a game.
Yeah, and everybody forgets. The defense is horrid, and they're giving up 33. The offense is scored less than Pittsburgh, actually, guys. They're averaging 22 a game. Now, I know that there's a lot of ups and downs in there, but if Chase, and I know he's appealed a suspension, but if they're missing him...
Oh.
Now, the one thing I'll say is New England's due to look bad. I mean, do you guys really think they're the best team in all of football?
No,
I don't.
I think that'll come
I think
down.
They're one of the top three or four teams.
Okay, I mean, I can't pick against them this week. It just doesn't make any sense. Flacco's arm looks like, I mean, God love the man. He went out there and did everything he could, but you could tell between the wind and his arm, it just wasn't anything like normal.
By the way, since when did it get so windy around here?
Well, it's that was just
windy all the time. Yeah.
Well, it's November, man.
I know. Come on, wind. Get lost, wind.
Oh my goodness. Here we go.
Giants 2-9 at the Lions 6-4. Lions favored by 11.5. I know I shouldn't do it, but I'm taking the Lions here. They haven't lost back-to-back games since October of 2022. They average 33.5 points a game. So if they can just keep the Giants to about 20 or less, I think they cover.
I agree. And it's a lot of points, but the Giants, they're a mess. Detroit needs this game.
Is Jackson Dart playing?
What's
Dart,
that?
Is Dart playing for the?
I don't know if Dart's playing, but
I'll look it up while you guys talk.
Either way, Detroit absolutely has to win this game. If they lose this game, they might miss the playoffs.
Which is,
guys.
I mean, think about it, and they're not going to. There's no way they lose this game. That is that spread's crazy. And I'll take Detroit.
You're still taking Detroit?
Yeah, I'll still take them because what do the Giants have?
That's the problem.
They're an abysmal team right now.
That's why the line's so big. They're trying to beg you to take the Giants, and it's like, that's a lot of points. Yeah. I just can't do it.
He did return to practice, it looks like, today. We got the Vikings 4-6 at the Packers 6-3-1. Packers favored by 6.5, Dave.
Well, here's the problem. I was busy all day, and maybe you guys can tell me, what's the story with Love? He didn't, you know, he came out of that game.
They said he's playing.
He came back.
He's playing?
Yeah, they said Josh Jacobs, I'm not sure about.
Yeah. I'm taking Minnesota. I shouldn't do this.
Josh Jacobs is out.
I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to take Minnesota just because I think it's too many points. I think Green Bay wins a close game. Minnesota's played a lot of close games lately. I believe in their defense. I don't believe in Minnesota's offense at all. Green Bay is not doing well offensively, so I could easily see this being like a 17-13 game. So I'm taking Minnesota.
Yeah, you know what, Dave? McCarthy hasn't shown me anything, which is disappointing. I mean, think about what Minnesota did. They got rid of Darnold because they drafted this kid so high.
Well, we'll talk more about Darnold in a minute.
I mean, holy smokes. But this is going to be a weird one. But yeah, I'm taking Minnesota as well because Green Bay, we were talking off the air too. Green Bay's funky and it's hard to put your finger on what they're doing. I'll take Minnesota.
I'm going to reluctantly take the Packers here being at home. If it was over 7, I think I would have taken the Vikings, but I'm going to say they cover. Seahawks 7-3 at the Titans 1-9. Seahawks are favored by 12.5. D.
Give me the Hawks all day. I'd take them if they were favored by 15. The Hawks, obviously they had a rough go of it, and I think they're going to bounce back. I don't think that's the type of team that I think everything just kind of got away from him in that game. I was really looking forward to that. That was, you know, one of those
games.
They
still made it a game.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 turnovers by Darnold, and they still almost won. Yeah, they could have won it with a 62-yard
field
goal. Yeah,
I think they're going to come back and make a statement. I think they're going to pound Tennessee.
Yep, I'm going to take the Seahawks, too. Sam Darnold, though, that does concern me going into big games that he's going to be old Sam Darnold.
I mean, an average quarterback performance, and they win that game, guys. I mean, they were the better team, and the quarterback failed them. And just one game, I understand that, but – you know, before last year, nobody thought Darnold was anything. No. So it makes you wonder a little bit. But look, not this game. I told you, I can't fathom a scenario where I take the Titans again this year. And I don't care what the spread is. They're going to take their frustrations out, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we got a good one here. The Colts 8-2 at the Chiefs 5-5. Now, the Chiefs are favored. I see 3.5. Is that correct?
3.5.
Okay. I'm going to take the Chiefs. They need this game.
It's a must win.
Yeah, they have to win it. They were 11-0 in one score games last year. They're 0-5 this year.
I told you guys this. This is why I said they weren't going to win the division because everybody's like, oh, they've got some magic. No, they don't. They got lucky last year. They flipped the coin, came up heads 10 times in a row. It can't happen again. Now, are they this bad in one score games? No, it's somewhere in the middle. They're a good team. They're not a great team. But I really I really feel like they have to win this game.
Oh, pardon me.
And I think they will.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I mean, they had their chances in Denver. They could have won and probably, you might say, should have won that game. Of course, my son Darren, I'll give him the shout out. He is just over the moon right now. Denver is almost certainly going to win that division.
Oh, there's no question about it. Kansas City, though, I think is better. Than what their record shows. They're going to win this game. And again, they have to. If not, they're out of playoff contention. I mean, there's absolutely no way they're going to make the playoffs if they lose this game. And they have all the bad tiebreakers go against them as well. They had losses to Jacksonville, losses to San Diego, LA Chargers. It's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs if they lose this game. So I look for them to win.
Boy, that'd be a nice Christmas present to not see the Chiefs in the playoffs. Jets 2-8 at the Ravens 5-5. Ravens favored by 14.5. That's the biggest spread of the week, Dave.
Is it mine?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yep. No. Yeah, I started with the last one.
All right. It's the points, guys. This is so hard because, you know, Baltimore did not look. I want to talk about that Baltimore-Cleveland game. If their quarterback didn't get hurt, I think Cleveland might have pulled that off. Yep. Sanders was horrible. Hashtag get lost. Everybody thinks he was somehow screwed in the draft because it was. Yeah, we'll get to him. We'll get to that situation in a minute. But Cleveland's defense, I mean, Myles Garrett, guys, the debate's over. He's the best.
No question.
Right now, today, he is the best.
He could break the single season sack record. Yeah. He's got 20 sacks or something?
15, I think, so.
Yeah, but tackles, they can't block him. Yeah. They couldn't block him all day. But that's all. My point with that is Baltimore played down to the level of Cleveland pretty badly there. And the Jets keep hanging around. You got to give the Jets credit. I thought they'd fold their tents up when they traded the team away. But Baltimore, one of these weeks, is going to just crush somebody. And I think this is the week. I know it's too many points, but I just have to take Baltimore.
I'm just taking the Jets only because of the points. I mean, there's no way Baltimore loses this game. Bob, we said it here a minute ago. It's going to come down, I think. The head-to-head matchups between Stairway and the Ravens are going to determine who wins the division. There's no way they lose this, but I'm taking the Jets because of the points. That's a lot of points.
I know it is, but I can't take the Jets. I got to take the Ravens here. I think Derrick Henry has a monster day and just runs all over them.
By the way, this is a game, and I don't advocate betting, but I would stay so far away from this line.
So it's goofy.
Because one or two turnovers, one way or the other, is going to make this thing, and you just don't know how that's going to break.
Speaking of turnovers, it's Shador time. The Browns 2-8 at the Raiders 2-8. Raiders favored by 3.5, D.
You know what? I'm going to take the Raiders I'm away from the mic. Shedeur Sanders' NFL regular season debut, I'm reading this here. If you spike the ball into the ground, 39.6 passer rating. The worst passer rating of all time. Minimum 200 attempts, 17.9. Shedeur Sanders versus the Ravens, 13.5. That's how bad his debut was. I want nothing to do with the Browns or Sanders' start. Get lost.
Oh, I have the Browns. I'm taking the Browns here. I know I probably shouldn't, but their defense is so good, and Geno Smith and that offensive line have been really bad for the Raiders. So I think Myles Garrett might have he might double his sacks this week.
He's something else.
Yeah. Do you really think they're going to score 3 defensive touchdowns? Because otherwise, I don't know how they're going to score. I mean, guys, and I don't know if you were watching it. He came in for Gabriel.
People were pumped. That
and they
was
were,
cool.
And he completed a couple short passes, and the whole place is going nuts. And then he was so bad the rest of that game.
He was terrible.
He was one of the worst.
So he looked like he'd never played quarterback in his
life. Yeah, he was just standing there with a deer in the headlights. Yeah. Throw it away. What are you doing? Throw it away. Whatever. Guys, this is not. I think this. If this is the true line, I don't sports bet. This is the easiest bet of the week, I think. 3.5? Against Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah.
Sign me up right now. That would be my lock of the week if I was still in it.
Okay, well, we'll
hey, one of these
out.
Days we're going to get sponsored by FanDuel or DraftKings.
No. Hashtag get lost to that nonsense.
Jaguars 6-4 at the Cardinals 3-7. Jaguars favored by 2.5. I cannot get a read on either of these teams.
No.
Well, you just stole my line.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Jaguars here. I don't like them. It's just that the Cardinals are so bad and Marvin Harrison's out still.
Jacksonville's in playoff position, guys. I mean, all the stuff that's happened, the weird games they've lost games they should have won, and a lot of weird stuff has happened, and they're right there. They're probably right. I mean, they win games like this, which they ought to win. They're going to make the playoffs. I just don't like it, Arizona at all. They've punted at quarterback. I think they're looking to rebuild. I think they actually, you know, if you put truth serum in, they want to lose this game. Their GM wants to lose this game. So I'm taking Jacksonville.
Yeah, like I'd take Jacksonville. It's funny. This is, even though the line's 2.5, this is one of those games I'd take Jacksonville as a lock of the week because Arizona stinks.
This is another, there's a lot
they're
of weird
terrible.
Lines. And by the way, guys, number one, we're agreeing way too much. Terrible sign. Number two, we're taking way too many
you're
road
right.
teams again.
Yep.
Terrible
yep.
sign.
Yep. yep.
All right, we got to move fairly quickly through these last ones. Eagles 8-2 at the Cowboys 4-5-1. Eagles favored by 4.5.
It's too small a line, but Dallas can score. Philly has been winning with defense. I mean, their offense has been pretty pathetic, but man, they've shut down two great offenses. I think they can really slow Dallas down, but 4.5, I'm going with Dallas. They'll lose a close one, but I'm taking Dallas.
Yeah, I'm going to take Dallas as well because the line on Dallas can, I'll tell you what, Dak looks fantastic. I mean, he's throwing the ball well. Yeah, I don't think Philly's offense, but doesn't scare me at all. But boy, I'll tell you, I mean, they're sitting at 8-2, you know, so I don't know. I'll take Dallas. So I know we got
to
move.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles to try to make up a game here. Falcons 3-7 at the Saints 2-8. Falcons favored by 1.5.
Get this game out of here. Yeah,
this
Give
is
me the
worst
Falcons.
Game. That's by
it.
Far.
Moving on. This game stinks.
I'm taking the Saints.
Are you really?
I am. you're taking.
I'm going to take the Saints.
Oh, you are? Okay. All right.
Buccaneers. Who did you take?
Oh, I took the Falcons.
Okay.
I should be more worried about you.
Buccaneers 6-4 at the Rams 8-2. Rams favored by 6.5. This should be a good game here.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. This is the only time I can't pick my guy Baker in this one. I just
You're
can't.
You're off the Baker bandwagon?
No, I'm not, but the Rams look good.
They
the Rams
do.
Look
That's
good,
That's a lot
man.
Of points. I'm going to take the Buccaneers
Yeah,
here.
That is a lot of points, yeah. but yeah, I'm going to take the Rams.
So you're taking Tampa. I'm going to take the Rams at home. It's a lot of points, but I just think that long that across the they just went up to Buffalo. Now they got to go back, fly across. It's tough. And this is a great Sunday night game.
Yeah,
sure is. This is not a great Monday night game.
No,
Panthers 3-7. No, they're not 3-7. I got the wrong record there. But the
I think
Panthers,
they're 6-5.
I think yeah. At the 49ers 7-4. 49ers favored by 6.5. Dave.
San Francisco. It's still. I just don't believe yet. Carolina is much improved. I just don't believe in them yet.
Yeah, I'm taking the Panthers only because AI told me to do it. So I'm going to take the Panthers. Give me those points.
I'm going to take the 49ers. McCaffrey squares off against his former team in this one. That'll do it for the weekly picks. When we return, we'll talk about some quick hitters here. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by the False Creek Eagles on Connect FM. Welcome back to Under Review. We'd like to thank Fetula Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles for sponsoring us again. Dave, you shared an article from Corey Pronman of the New York Times questioning whether Gavin McKenna is still a lock to be the number one pick in the upcoming NHL draft. I know you were underwhelmed when you saw him in person. Is he being overhyped?
Oh, I definitely think he's being overhyped only because for the last 2 years. 2 years, guys, everybody's like, oh, he's the next sure thing. He's the next Crosby. He's the next Bedard, whatever. He's just another guy in college. I mean, if you're going to be that guy, if you're going to be Crosby or even, Macklin Celebrini or whoever, you better stand out in a college game, okay? And he didn't. Look, I know it's just one game. You can say, oh, you just saw one game. Well, I've been watching him on TV, and he's, okay. And you look at his numbers, and he's averaging maybe a point a game, maybe a little less, and it's not enough. He doesn't play defense. I'll tell you this right now. Away from the puck, his skills are terrible. He's got the vision. He's a good passer. He's an average skater. He didn't blow anybody away with the skating, and he doesn't play defense. So you tell me if that's a franchise player.
Is it a system thing, do you think, or is it just
Now that system should play right into his hands.
Okay. All right.
But and look, it's a long season. He's got the under 18, the U20 coming up. I think he's going to be a big
World
player.
Juniors will
yeah,
be
World
huge
Juniors.
For him.
Yeah. But guys, I mean, is he a top 10 pick? Is he a top 5 pick? Probably. But he isn't this, oh my goodness, everybody should tank because he is clearly the best player in the draft.
That does give me some comfort now that the Penguins are playing so well.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And I'm rooting for he's at Penn State. I wanted to see him get a hat trick and go crazy. And man, Michigan just beat him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you compare his numbers, he's played 14 games. He has 4 goals and 11 assists. Compare that to Will Horkoff, who was the Penguins' 24th pick last year. He plays for Michigan. He has 13 goals and 5 assists in that same time.
And I was there Friday and watched the Michigan. Horkoff stood out to me. And I'd forgotten. And full disclosure, I wasn't even watching Horkoff that closely. I forgot we drafted him. But I was like, oh, man, Horkoff, he's just killing us. Man, he is so good tonight. And yeah, he looks like a better player. He does.
And we've heard this before, you know, with number one picks. I remember Alexis Lafreniere.
Oh, yeah.
He was supposed to be the next big one, and he hasn't really been that great. And even Bedard, I mean, he looks good this year, but it took him some time.
Well, and look, maybe McKenna will come around, but he's not McDavid. He's not Crosby. And yes, to your point, with the way he's looked, I am happy that the Penguins aren't tanking, because it looks now like the top of this draft, if McKenna isn't the real deal, it's very mediocre.
Well, James Franklin wasn't unemployed very long.
No.
He was hired to head the Virginia Tech football program. This is also good news for Penn State, because now they're not on the hook for all $50 million of that money. I think they negotiated down to $9 million. D, as a Penn State fan, how do you feel about this?
Well, first off, I was happy for him. You know, by all accounts, I mean, again, you can see it on the kids' social media outlets. You can hear it from, you know, Terry Smith talked about his relationship with Franklin. You know, Franklin, it was a complicated guy because he couldn't win that big game. But without him, Penn State isn't where they are right now. He took them from a place where many thought they weren't going to get out of, and built that into a national brand again, as it was years ago. I think he's going to do very well at Virginia Tech. I'm happy for him. He plays in a weaker conference. Sorry, Pitt fans, but it just is a weaker conference. So I think he's going to have a real opportunity to make a big splash. He recruits well from out that way anyways. So I think on a negative for Penn State, it might hurt their recruiting a bit. I don't think it's going to hurt them all that much, but it is going to hurt him a little bit. I was happy for him, though. It's a great hire for Virginia Tech.
I feel the same way. It's a win-win. Gets him. I didn't want him to end up in the conference. I just thought that would have been bad for everybody if he was Big Ten. He can go dominate a weaker conference. ACC will be happy to go 10-2 every year and lose in the playoff. They'll think that's wonderful.
Yep.
So, and I have to say this, Franklin. Everything you said about Franklin is accurate. He made some of his own problems the way he whined and cried about so many different things. But yeah, he had a lot of great relationships, and time will tell, but this may have been a short-sighted decision.
Yep.
Well, Kay Adams had a hot take on the George Pickens trade. Take a listen, and we'll react to it on the other side.
I think that trading George Pickens is probably going to go down as one of the worst deals in NFL history. And I mean that. The best from a Dallas perspective. Like, what a haul. This is clearly a bad call by the Steelers. I think we'd be looking at Pittsburgh totally differently if he was still there. Aaron Rodgers, DK, and George Pickens. They didn't need to line up in three tight end sets every other play. If they had George Pickens still there, there's a lot of this
mentality. All right, so she continues on, but what do you guys think? The worst trade in NFL history?
Definitely not. It's not even close to the worst trade, because we didn't give up, or they didn't give, you know.
It's not Herschel Walker.
Yeah. So no. And here's the thing. Mike Tomlin is a player's coach, and if Mike Tomlin had had enough of his attitude, that's enough for me. And by the way, he went to Dallas. If you're saying they won the trade and it's so great, what are they, 3-7? I mean, he's a great talent, but he's also the same receiver as Metcalf. Do you need two of those? I think we needed a route runner. You know, Metcalf just replaced Pickens. You still needed a second receiver, did something else.
Yeah, for sure. And really, if you look at the Steelers, I mean, you look at the way they've lost their games this season. You think maybe Pickens is maybe worth one more win? Maybe? I mean, I don't know. He wasn't that great of a player when he was here. I mean, he was all right. I mean, granted, he had certain, you know, quarterback deficiencies with Pickett throwing him the ball and everything else. But I don't know. I think that take is way off.
There's more behind the scenes than we know. And this is one of those cases
he was
benched where
starting the game.
I trust that Tomlin knew enough here to say, I don't want this guy anymore. And it's pretty rare for Tomlin to say that about somebody, and he wanted him gone. That's enough for me.
If you like stats, you can like George Pickens' season. I mean, he's second in the league, actually, behind JSN from Seattle. 908 yards, 7 touchdowns in 10 games. He had a great game Sunday. I have him on my one fantasy team. I figured he would thrive in Dallas because he's not the number one. And that takes some pressure off of him. But is he the guy you want to build around? Certainly not.
No.
All right. So, D, we got to get you a basketball question. The king is back.
Yes,
and I'm
he
not
is.
Talking about Elvis. LeBron James made his debut, sparked
Looked
the Lakers
great.
To a victory. Yep. And he does so in his age 40 season, and it's his 23rd in the NBA. That's an NBA milestone. So of the major sports, which one do you guys think is the best for 40-year-olds to be able to compete? Of the major sports, I'm not talking about golf.
Baseball.
Yeah, I would say baseball as well. I think you're right, Dave. Basketball is so demanding on your body. There's been a lot of like soft tissue injuries already this season. The way the NBA scheduling is gone, because they don't want these players, you know, with load management and stuff like that. But a lot of the superstars, Wemby's out, Giannis is out.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, so, and that's, it's challenging. But the way LeBron takes care of his body, it's a testament, obviously, to his longevity. The guy is unbelievable. He looked fantastic last night. He looked like he didn't miss a beat. He's going to get his legs underneath him, too, as the season goes on. He was more of a glue guy last night. He was much more of a facilitator. He had 12 assists. He just looked great. And right now, Luka is the show there. I think I hope he does. LeBron realizes that his basketball IQ is second to none. He realizes Luka is the primary scorer on that team.
Well, you have a lot to be excited about.
I'm very excited. LeBron's the man. I love it.
Let's finish up with some baseball questions. ESPN's Jeff Passan has been saying the Pirates are being aggressive, trying to lure some players here. I know, Dave, you're a skeptic. They were supposedly in on Josh Naylor. They're supposedly in on Kyle Schwarber.
Whatever.
So there's a lot of smoke. Will there be fire?
Listen, I don't. This is free publicity for an owner who doesn't deserve it until he actually does something. I don't want to hear about who they're in on or who they might assign. That's the hashtag get lost to all that nonsense. When they sign somebody, then I'll talk about it.
I tell you what, Schwarber would be amazing.
Perfect fit.
Yeah. Pomp tweeted this out. He said, Schwarber's looking for $30 million per year for 5 years. Pirates should give it to him immediately. He's only 32 and is coming off 56 home run, 132 RBI season. Slam dunk for me. Let's see if their actions match their words, to your point. I think that'd be incredible to have Kyle Schwarber there. His attitude, his intensity, he would change that locker room, change the complexion of that team overnight. Paul Skeens, after he won the Cy Young, he's speaking so loudly down there now about wanting to build a winner. Fans not, he's like, we don't deserve to have fans. Basically, I'm paraphrasing, but I love that. That's the attitude of somebody that wants to win. And he's not short-sighted enough to think that he's going to be there long-term. That just shows the type of guy he is. Build around him and let's see what happens.
100%. But I don't want to talk about this anymore until they actually sign somebody. Don't tell me who you're in on. That means nothing.
Well, it is time to get out of here, and D, we'll let you get us started.
Hashtag get lost to spitting on opponents. What is going on? Jamar Chase, he deserved more of a suspension than that. James Harrison was talking about if someone spit on him, you have to freaking have cops there and everything else. Hashtag get lost to disrespecting your opponents by spitting on them.
I'm going to say hashtag get lost to all the armchair referees who think it's so easy in the NFL. You know, they're saying, oh, they need to be more accountable, as if they're not graded every game, as if they aren't. There aren't repercussions when you're a bad official. Get lost with that. It's tough. It's really tough.
I'm going to say hashtag get lost to the Penguins schedule. I know they traveled 8,000 miles to Sweden and back, but 2 games in 11 days, I need a little bit more hockey.
Oh, they're going to make up for that here shortly, Bob.
They will. That'll do it for this week's show. Remember to search for Under Review on Spotify. Follow us and leave a review. For Dave and Dave, I'm Bob. We'll catch you next week right here on Connect FM.